Good evening. If you'd like to take a Bible and open to Mark chapter 9, we'll begin there in just a moment. Mark chapter 9, that'll be the first passage of Scripture that we want to focus our attention on in just a moment. We would not normally be assembled, I don't think, on a Monday night. And so I just want to say from the outset that I appreciate the interest of all who are here in spiritual matters, setting aside this time where you might be doing something else normally this time of the week, making the effort instead to be here and to sing and to pray together and to study God's Word together. That's commendable. And so I appreciate that. That's an encouragement to me. And appreciate, of course, again, seeing the members of this congregation as we began this meeting yesterday and then being back together again this evening as well. Let me also say that it's really good to, in addition to seeing the members here, to see several longtime friends who also worship at various places around this area. I've learned to not say old friends, but longtime friends is how we phrase that now. But it is such an encouragement, of course, to have those that are visitors here as well tonight. We're going to study from God's Word this evening, and as is always the case, if any questions are raised in your mind by what I say or what is taught or presented, if there's anything that you'd like to talk to me about afterwards, if you have any questions, I welcome those questions. We want to make sure that what we're teaching, what we're presenting is God's truth. That's our aim and that's our goal. And so do keep that in mind. Tonight, as we study together, the title of our lesson is, I Don't Want to Go to Hell. And I'll explain that title in just a few minutes, but as we begin to wrap our minds around this subject matter, let me begin with this question. Have you ever really thought about how bad hell will be? You ever given much thought to that? In Mark chapter 9, the punishment of the wicked in hell will be so terrible that Jesus says this about it. In Mark 9 and verses 43 and 44, he says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Hell will be so terrible that you have the Lord saying here that it's better to take whatever drastic measures you have to take now in this life just so you can avoid ending up there. Why should we not want to go to hell? Have you really stopped to think about that question? You know, people can be awfully unreasonable at times. I preached in Canada for 7 years up in the city of Toronto. And like most big cities, Toronto has public transit and a subway system. And one afternoon, I preached a funeral in Toronto, in one part of the city. And a lot of the brethren and members and those who attended with us took public transportation to get from place to place. And so I was giving a friend a ride to the subway station after the funeral was over so that he could get on the train and then ride the rest of the way to the east end of the city where he lived. And the subway station had a designated drop-off point where you pull your car up if you want to let somebody out. So you pull up and there's a little walkway there and you stop your car and your passenger gets out and goes into the station to get on the train. And so I pulled up there and I stopped my car to let him get out. And when we stopped there, just momentarily, a car came behind us. It was a busy time in the afternoon. A car came behind us and didn't stop soon enough and hit my bumper. And so I got out and looked at my bumper, looked at his or her bumper, I don't even remember who was driving, and looked at the other car, looked at my car, and as I was examining to see if there was any damage, and there wasn't, I noticed that my examination of the situation was interrupted by a man coming off the subway toward the car. And he was yelling obscenities at me. He was the passenger to be picked up by the car behind me. And apparently he thought I had done something, that it was my fault. And so he's yelling and swearing at me and saying all these things. And at that point, I had already looked at the cars. There's no damage. I just shook my head. I could see where this was going as he was approaching me in this manner. I saw where it was headed, and so I just kind of shook my head, got back in my car, and drove off. And the first thought in my mind as I pulled out of the parking lot there of the subway station was, I don't want to go to hell. Rudeness, profanity, ungodly behavior, all that is bad enough here in this life. Just try to imagine what hell will be like. Now, there are a lot of reasons why we would not want to go to hell. They're probably too numerous to count, really. But I want us to consider a few prominent ones as we study together for a few minutes tonight. The first reason that I'd like for us to consider is that hell will be filled with the very worst people. Hell is the destiny of unforgiven sinners. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, notice what we read about this. Revelation 21 and verse 8, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That's how the Bible describes the outcome for sinners. It is a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And notice the kinds of people that are going to populate that lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Now, the Bible does teach, as we well know, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for example, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is a common problem, a worldwide problem, a universal problem, we might say. But those who remain in sin, instead of receiving forgiveness from God by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, those people who are never forgiven of their sins, they'll be condemned to spend eternity in hell. What are we talking about? Well, religious people. That's who we're talking about. Religious people who follow false teachers, religious people who have never actually obeyed the gospel of Christ. They've maybe been taught to say your sinner's prayer and be saved that way, or just accept Jesus in your heart as your Savior, or to go about some other means of attaining salvation other than what the Bible prescribes. For example, in Mark 16 and verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." There are lots of religious people out there. How many of them have obeyed the gospel? Salvation is found in meeting the Lord's terms for forgiveness. Those who don't meet His terms are not forgiven. They're still in their sins. What about people who have lived good, decent, moral lives, but they've never surrendered their lives to the King of Kings? They've never been cleansed of their sins by the blood of Jesus. Even the good, decent, moral people, have they ever sinned? Have they ever told a lie? Have they ever been envious? Have they ever been greedy? Have they ever had a moment where they did something that violates God's law? They need to be forgiven for that. The only way to be forgiven is through the blood of Christ. All those people will be in hell if they're not forgiven of their sins before this life is over. But here's what we also need to think about. We need to think about the fact that all unforgiven sinners will end up in hell. And what I'm saying to you is that hell will be populated with the very worst people who have ever lived. Think about, for a moment, just go back in your mind and think about the most badly behaved person you have ever been around. The most badly behaved person that you've ever had the misfortune of interacting with. Is there somebody that comes to mind, or some situation that comes to mind? Maybe it's something like what I described a few minutes ago at the subway station. Think about a situation that you found yourself in where it was just intolerable to be around that person. Now imagine being trapped in a room for one day, a whole day, with the most immoral or the most insolent or the most disrespectful or violent person that you've ever encountered. Imagine being trapped for one day in a room with that person. That'd be pretty bad, wouldn't it? Well, hell will be much worse than that. Much worse than that. Hell will feature an ongoing existence filled with those who have spent their entire lifetimes behaving in the very worst ways imaginable. Think about for a moment being surrounded by the mass murderers, the serial rapists, the genocidal tyrants, the predatory child molesters, the homicidal maniacs, all the most foul-mouthed, abusive people who have ever walked the earth. Now think about being surrounded by those kinds of people, not just for a few minutes, not just for a day, but for all eternity. And if that's not enough, think about the fact that Jesus described hell in this way in Matthew chapter 25 in verse 41. Then he will say to those in the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And think about that. And not only do you have all the worst people in hell, hell is also the place the Lord has prepared to punish the devil and his angels. A lot of people have this mistaken idea that hell is, you know, God's in heaven and God's in charge in heaven, and then hell down here, that's where the devil is in charge, and the devil's down there, you know, whipping people and kind of having a good time down there, making people miserable. No, the devil and his angels are going to be punished in hell. That's the punishment designed for the devil and his angels. His demons, his evil angels. Not only will the worst people who have ever lived be in hell, but hell will also be inhabited by the devil and his angels. Is that where you want to spend eternity? Are those the people and beings you want to be surrounded by and spend eternity with? If not, you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell because that's what's going to be there. I don't want to go to hell. Now let me give you another reason why I don't want to go to hell. And that is that it will be absolutely miserable. That's what hell is. It's not a fun place. It's not somewhere to be enjoyed. Hell is a place of eternal misery, as it's described in Scripture. In Matthew chapter 13, notice, speaking of this final judgment, in Matthew 13, in verses 41 and 42, the Lord said, "The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Wailing and gnashing of teeth. What's that all about? Well, that doesn't sound good, does it? Wailing and gnashing of teeth. The wailing here, what does that bring to mind? That brings to mind, of course, crying, extreme sadness, lamentation, extreme sorrow being poured out over one's condition. That's wailing. And then you have the gnashing of teeth. The gnashing of teeth indicates anguish, bitter pain, anger, frustration, regret. And it's through this kind of terminology, as the Lord warns us about this possible eternal destiny, it's through this kind of terminology that hell is pictured in the Bible as a place of boundless misery and just endless regret. All of that points to the fact that hell will be a place without any comfort at all. You know, as our society takes the Bible less and less seriously, the prospect of facing eternity in hell is also taken less seriously. And you'll hear people joking about hell and say, "I know I'm going to go to hell." Like it's no big deal, like it's not really that big of an issue, and there's this lighthearted banter about hell and being in hell, and it's become a joke to so many people, and some will go so far as to say that, you know, in their view of things, you know, ending up in hell won't really be so bad because, you know, all my friends are going to be there too. You ever heard anybody talk like that? You know, it's like this idea that, you know, this unhinged, reckless, drunken party that I've been involved in here and now and all these years, that's just going to kind of continue on with all the same people in hell. Well, that's not the case. Hell is not a place where one can have a party. Hell is not a place where one can find comfort in the company of all his friends who are also there. Think about this. In Matthew 25, as we go back to that judgment scene where Jesus talks about dividing the sheep from the goats. In Matthew 25 and verse 30, what did he say about this? "Cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth," as he talks about these scenes of judgment, these parables of judgment, and these situations where he's describing the outcome of judgment in that chapter. This is one of those descriptions. And notice, the unprofitable servant is not sent to go have a party with all his friends. The unprofitable servant ends up in the outer darkness. What does that conjure up in your mind? Hell is a place of separation. Hell is a place of exile from all that is helpful, from all that is comforting, from all that would feel good or familiar. You want to experience incredible, comfortless anguish and misery? How many would want to experience that? Nobody. Well, then you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. Now, let's also think about another reason. Why don't I want to go to hell? Well, because the Bible says it will be everlasting punishment. Hell is a condition of ongoing punishment. As we go back again to Matthew chapter 25, toward the end of that judgment scene of dividing the sheep and the goats, Jesus says this in Matthew 25 and verse 46, speaking of those on the left hand, He says, "These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Everlasting punishment. Now somebody will say, "Well, I'm sure glad that hell isn't eternal. I mean, you know, it's everlasting punishment, but heaven is eternal life, and everlasting, that's not as long as eternal." That's funny how sometimes the translators of our English Bibles will take the same Greek word and translate it in two different ways in the same verse. The word that's translated everlasting there is the exact same word that's translated eternal in that verse. What does that tell us? However long heaven lasts, that's how long hell lasts. Same duration. Same duration. But you know, as we think about that, we also need to look at Mark chapter 9 again. Because as we noticed earlier in Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, Jesus refers to hell as the fire that shall never be quenched. The fire that shall never be quenched. And many people have become convinced that hell will not really be so bad because it will only be temporary. And after a while, those that go to hell, you know, it's not going to be very long before they just kind of burn out and cease to exist, and they just aren't anymore. But you know, that's not what the Bible says, is it? That's not what the Lord taught. The Lord describes hell in terms, as we've seen, in terms of a punishment that is everlasting. It is ongoing. It is conscious. It never comes to an end. And do you know what that means? That means that hell will offer no relief. No relief from torment. Now, it's one thing to experience misery and torment. And probably most of us can identify with that. But it's something else entirely to experience misery and torment without end for all eternity. And you think about times in your life when you've been miserable. When something's happened, maybe you've been in pain. Maybe you've been in some situation that has been very unpleasant. Right? I mean, I don't like to go to the dentist. And almost every time I sit in the dentist chair, I'm reminded that I can tolerate a few minutes of misery at a time. I mean, there was this one dentist when I was preaching down in Clearwater, Florida. I don't know how we got involved with this particular dentist office, but it was almost like a kind of a, it wasn't really a dentist office, it was like a mouth pain factory. And I always got stuck with the hygienist, and I'm sure she was a very nice person in real life, but in that place, I always got stuck with her, and it was like her job, her whole focus was to inflict as much pain, just doing a cleaning of my teeth. Her job was to inflict as much pain as possible for about 45 minutes. Like a medieval torture lady. And I thought, you know, I don't know how long I can do this. But what would get me through it is I know after about 45 minutes I'm going to be done. And I'm going to have relief. And I can get up and walk out of here and not see her again for however many more months. See, that's the thing about pain. That's the thing about misery. That's the thing about uncomfortable tormenting situations, right? If you know there's going to be relief, you know it's going to get better. I'm going to get out of this at some point. It's not going to last. Then we can get through it. We can manage it, right? You see, the problem with the misery and torment of hell is that it lasts a lot longer than a few minutes. It's worse than anything that anyone can experience on this earth because there's no hope of relief. There's no hope that it's ever going to end. There's no hope that, oh, finally this is going to be over. There's no hope of that. There are no breaks. There's no periods of rest from the torment. What do we read in Revelation chapter 14 concerning this? In Revelation 14 and verse 11, the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Those who end up in hell, there's no rest. There's no rest from the torment. There's no end to it. It goes on forever and ever. Now think about that. Do you want to spend the boundless ages of eternity in a place of never-ending conscious torment? A place, as we read earlier in Matthew 25 and verse 41, that's described as the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels? You want to spend eternity in a place like that? No? Well, you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell because that's what hell is. Why else would someone not want to go to hell? Well, let me offer something else to think about. Hell will be entirely removed from the presence of God. Hell is a situation in which all the blessings and all the care of the Lord, all of that is absent. Have you thought about that? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks about Jesus coming again and how the Lord will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not obey God and on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's going to happen when Jesus comes again. Those who have not obeyed the gospel, those who have not had their sins forgiven, those who are not in fellowship with God will be punished. And notice what Paul says about that in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verses 9 and 10 as we continue there. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Notice that the everlasting destruction in hell is a punishment in which the condemned are removed from the presence of the Lord, removed from His glory forever and ever. Now think about this. How would you like to be cut off from any connection to God for one day? What would that mean in your life? How would you like to be removed from God's glory for one day? See, those in hell are cut off from all of that for eternity. There is no worse condition that anyone may find himself or herself in than to be permanently shut out from God's presence and God's glory and God's blessings. Hell will be devoid of anything pleasant. In James chapter 1, James points this out. James 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good thing that we enjoy, every good blessing that comes our way, every single one of those, all of that comes down from above, from our Father in heaven. Now just stop and think for a moment. How many blessings? You know, we sing the song, count your blessings. Name them one by one, right? We know we can't count them all. Think about some of the blessings that you've experienced just today. Just today. Just try to run through a few of those in your mind, a few of those good things. Is there something good that happened to you today? I mean, we're all here, right? We all have the strength and the health to even be able to be here at this hour, at this moment, right? The sun rose today, right? And you know, the weather was pleasant. Think about all the different things. If you ate today, right? What a blessing that is. All these little blessings that add up and accumulate. All these good things that we've experienced just in the last several hours. Every one of those things is a blessing from God. Every blessing in life, every pleasant thing we might enjoy is a result of God bestowing those good and perfect things upon us. You know, Jesus said something about God's blessings in Matthew chapter 5. When you think about the physical blessings of this life, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, Jesus said, "For he makes his sun," speaking of what the Father does, "he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." That's interesting, isn't it? Here in this world, in this life, all these blessings come down from God, and you don't have to be a good person to receive them. You see that? You don't have to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ for it to rain where you live so that the crops can grow. You don't have to be somebody who's busy obeying God and serving the Lord and serving others in order for the sun to rise over your house and give you the light and the warmth that you need. That's how it works in this world. Sun rises on the evil and on the good. Rain falls on the just and on the unjust. But you know, that won't be the case in the hereafter. No, there's a different situation that lies ahead. God's blessings aren't going to be poured out in heaven and in hell. Hell is removed from the presence of the Lord. Hell is removed from the glory of His power. The inhabitants of hell will be completely separated from the presence and blessings of God for all eternity. Now think about it. Everything that is good, all that is pleasant, all that is helpful, all that is beautiful, all that we enjoy, all of that will be totally withdrawn. How many of you tonight want to spend eternity in a condition that is absolutely devoid of the blessings and presence of the Lord? If not, you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell because that's what hell is like. As I said, we could go on and on with reasons. You probably thought of a few more just as we've been studying this tonight. Why wouldn't we want to go to hell? Well, it'll be filled with all the worst people you don't want to be with. It'll be absolutely miserable. It's everlasting punishment. It never ends, and it's completely removed from the presence and glory and blessings of the Lord. Now, That might look like a bleak picture. And it is. It is. But we all have a choice, don't we? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7 in verses 13 and 14? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Let's not forget that perhaps most miserable of all, hell will include among its inhabitants those who almost made it to heaven. Those who could have made it to heaven. Imagine the terrible, unending regret that will be felt by those who end up in hell even though they knew better. Let me tell you something. I don't want to go to hell, and neither do you. Neither do you. That's the bottom line. I appreciate how you've listened tonight attentively. Appreciate you following along and taking part in this study together. Please take out your songbook now. I appreciate our brother Thomas leading us in songs tonight. And fittingly, he's chosen number 297 as a song of encouragement and invitation that we'll sing in just a moment. Fittingly, I say, because the song is "Prepare to Meet Thy God." But even though we've talked about what would be considered a difficult subject tonight, in many ways an unpleasant subject and yet a necessary study of what the Lord says concerning the matter, the good news in all of this is that our loving God has reached out to us. People like you and me who have sinned against Him, He has reached out to us in His mercy and in His grace. He sent His Son to be the sacrifice to take away our sins, so that we can be with Him in heaven, so that we can have what we don't deserve, so that we can have endless and boundless blessings in the presence of God and before His throne, instead of having to be removed from His presence and condemnation for all eternity. That's the good news. That's the good news. All of these terrible things that we've talked about and looked at and studied about tonight concerning hell, the truth is, none of us have to partake in that. Because God has given us the way of salvation in His Son. Now, if you've sinned and you don't want to go to hell, you need to come to the Lord on His terms for forgiveness and salvation here and now tonight. When there were those on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 that wanted to know, what should we do? The Bible says that Peter and the rest of the apostles said to them, here's what you need to do. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness is available. There's water behind me where you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. You come up out of the water knowing that you're cleansed through the blood of Jesus. You're not hellbound. But you'll have the assurance, the blessed assurance of knowing you're forgiven and you're headed toward an eternity in heaven with God. We want that for you tonight, if that's your need. It may be the case that you've already done that, but maybe as a Christian, as a child of God, you know that sin has found its way back into your life, separating you from your God. That's no less serious a situation. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26 that if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. I want you to leave here tonight as a child of God who's in sin, facing a fearful expectation of judgment. You don't want to go to hell. If you need to make correction in your life, if there's some sin that you need to repent of, let's make sure we take care of that here and now this evening. If we can help you with those spiritual needs, won't you please come down to the front while we stand and while we sing.
Hear the soul, my witness.